You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon, the 31st day of May, 2013. Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, is heading westward this afternoon. Had some problems getting hold of him to begin with, but now he's on the phone line. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
My apologies to you and your listeners. We got a little bit of weather over here in Chatham that we went through, and I think that probably messed up our cell signal, Todd.
Oh, you're near Springfield, so you're at Chatham, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you're not too terribly far away, but the weather can make some problems for us. You've been watching, I know, among a lot of other things you've been doing today, what's been happening in the marketplace. Why don't you start with what happened yesterday and the day before and talk a little bit about the wheat, the finding of the genetically modified, probably genetically modified versions of white winter wheat and what that really means?
I think sentiment-wise and psychologically, it just threw another dagger at the wheat. It's almost like Atlas trying to hold up the world at this point for the wheat market when it comes to our demand. We've had some good export sales, but that's not enough to curb the sentiment. And when Japan came out and said, we don't want any more of your wheat for right now, and GASC, fortunately, out of Egypt, has said they're still studying it, and a couple other countries are also studying it, including China. That kind of took the pressure off the market, but it really puts us at a disadvantage. We're already at a price disadvantage because of the U.S. dollar, and we're already at a psychological disadvantage because the world markets, the trade especially thinks the world market is just overloaded with supplies of wheat at this point. So we're essentially going to probably be ratcheted down to the seller of last resort, would be my expectation. It would be something along the lines of really poor yields here in the United States, poor yields in Ukraine, or real poor yields in Australia, to turn the boat around and change that psychology if the technicians don't come in and buy it just because it's so oversold.
Does this go across the board for wheat or for just the white or that particular class of wheat?
I think because of the dollar strength, Todd, I would classify wheat in general as the leader to the downside. I think corn especially would have done much, much better this week. Here we've got Newswire stories coming out about how the bean acres are going to be going up at the expense of corn, but beans led the rally here yesterday and again today especially. I think corn would have done much, much better in performance had it not been for the wheat. Now, having said that, we did get above 705 in Chicago wheat. We got above 750 in KC July wheat. Those are two technical levels we continue to hold on to just by a nip, at the weekly close. But that still keeps you favorable technically, or at least non-committed as far as wanting to sell more.
New crop corn, however, did have a pretty good week. There was a gap higher on the week. We ended up with a high of $5.73, settled out, at $5.67 and a quarter. Not terribly far off the high, and that one took out, the April high, and did it take out the earlier high back in March? That was $5.73 and three quarters, so we were where? We were just a quarter cent high from that high for the day. So corn had a pretty good week, it appears to me.
Very good week, and I think this is where it did it without the help of the July until today, and I think that's where the weekly export sales were good across the board, and those weekly export sales allowed the re-engagement of the bull spread, and I think that really came nicely at the close of the week and helped that December out in a very necessary manner. It's really interesting to me to think about now with what we've got going on with the corn market and maybe another wet week next week in some of the longer-term models, is what does the end user do now heading into the June crop report? If you've got more rain on the way, that means more uncertainty. More uncertainty means less farmer selling. And so I think this is where the front-end corn again next week is probably going to be your biggest player as far as whether we can take those levels out that we just reached today and get up to that 585, 595 level in December futures. That's where I want to put some hedges back in. I certainly want to get some hedges in at that price level, and as from a timing standpoint, want to be in place with those hedges by the time we do get to the June report, because I think we will try and factor in as much bullishness by the June report as we possibly can.
Yeah, so your condition here is that you think that the bullishness will be factored into the market by that time. Producers might want to take advantage, at least in your opinion, of the marketplace on the idea that the crop, a lot of the crop is already in the ground, and it may be in pretty good condition as well.
That's right. Scale up, sell. It's a supply-driven rally. Do most of it on paper, very little of it on cash, just like a year ago today. And keep in mind, in 1993, one of the reasons we had both lower harvested acres and lower yield was because we had a very wet June. So you can feed the bull in corn, but you're going to need to do it in the month of June with continued wet weather. And I think that's where you hedge it, weather clears up, the market drops, you've got your hedge in place on paper. If you hedge it and the market goes up because the weather continues to stay dry, at least you hedged it on paper and you've got your crop insurance.
As of tomorrow, soybeans planted June 1st and later, actually today, May 31st, but planted on June 1st, will be considered a late planting. Much of a problem that you're working through there with the soybeans, or will they lead to the upside?
No, interestingly enough, I think the beans will probably continue to lead because most of the producers I've contacted that are in that state where they want to switch have already put the chemicals down this spring and they're just kind of locked in. One client I talked to today even said, well, my neighbors got planted, but I didn't, so I can't take prevent planting. I'm going to have to get the corn in eventually when I can. So I think that the idea, the theory that the bean acres are going to go up is right on the money, and I think they probably will go up some, but I have a sneaking suspicion that maybe the springtime chemical application is going to prevent a lot of clients and a lot of producers from changing over to beans, and they'll just have to get the corn in later and deal with lower yields.
Thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll talk to you for Commodity Week.
Thanks again, Todd. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting.